Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, April 16th, 2023. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you all had a great week and a great weekend. Got a lot to talk about today, but before we get started, a heads up that tonight, at the time of this recording, it's going to be the Impact post-show review for Rebellion. Myself, Cresta Star, and Joel Pearl, youtube.com/Fightful. So tonight, the Fightful main YouTube channel, please join us live if you're hearing this on Sunday. For the Fightful Impact post-show review for Rebellion. If you missed that live, please check it out on replay on the main Fightful YouTube channel. We would appreciate that. And I'm going to start today's show with predictions for Rebellion, as a matter of fact. So, got a lot to talk about. I'll go through the topics, then we'll jump into it. But once again, just really appreciate it if y'all would join us for the Impact post-show review for Rebellion later tonight, or catch the replay if you miss it tonight live. As far as topics for today go, we have predictions for Rebellion. Also have results for it. GCW, I Can't Feel My Face. I have spoilers, a lot of spoilers on today's episode. Got MLW War Chamber and Battle Riot spoilers. Also have spoilers for Ring of Honor TV taping. So, like I said, a ton of spoilers on today's episode. Also have results for NXT Level Up, Freelances, Storm Grayson, and The Legend of the Mexican Dragon results. We have results for NWA 312 and House of Glory's final hour. So some of these events and some of these spoilers happened over the course of the last couple weeks. The reason we're playing a little catch-up this week is because, you know, as you may already know if you listened or if you haven't checked it out yet and want to catch up later, I did a full review of the GCW Collective, and that dropped this last weekend because I needed some time to, you know, prepare and catch up, and that's a lot of shows over one weekend. When you also add on, of course, that's WrestleMania weekend and Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor and stuff on IWTV, there was just a ton of wrestling to catch up on. So I did my GCW Collective review. Also, shout out to Caden from Fightful. You know, you all know Caden as well. Caden was on the show last week talking about their experience live at the GCW Collective. So that's the reason we're playing some catch up this week on some of the topics, some of the spoilers, some of the results. But by next week, we'll be totally caught up, all back to normal, covering the stuff we normally cover, and I'll keep you up to date with all the main spoilers and predictions and results and all the stuff that we normally talk about right here on the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. So that being said, we're going to kick this off with predictions for Impact Rebellion. I'm going to start with the pre-show matches, then work my way up to the main event. So, and I don't know the actual, you know, order of these matches, but, you know, I have a pretty good idea of what's going to close the show. And, well, actually, a pretty good idea. There's a couple of things that might close the show, actually, but we'll get to all of that. I'll give you my thoughts and my predictions. So, first off, we got Heath and Rhino versus Singh and Shira. I'm gonna go Heath and Rhino here. I like Singh and Shira, though, but, you know, and honestly, I like Singh and Shira more than Heath and Rhino at this point, if I'm being, like, totally honest. Nothing against Heath and Rhino, it's just, I feel like the whole thing's been played out with them for a long time. And it was even played out before they reunited even more recently and stuff like that, just in my personal opinion. But, you know, what else can you really do? I mean, Rhino's been around for forever. It's wild because Rhino probably technically peaked back in, like, ECW, which was back in, like, 2001 when he was their heavyweight champion when the company closed. And he had a great run in WWE, don't get me wrong. I mean, most people are going to know him from his time in WWE, most likely. But he's been a mainstay, you know, an Impact ever since, and he's had long runs going in and out of WWE. So nothing against Rhino, of course. It's just kind of crazy to think that his best years, in my opinion, were like over 20 years ago already, and he's still out there doing his thing. And it's also a testament to Heath, because, you know, he hangs in there also. But as far as my prediction, I'm going to go with Heath and Rhino. We've got the Coven, the team of Colin King and Taylor Wilde, defending the Impact Knockouts World Tag Team titles against the Death Dolls, Rosemary and Jessica. I believe this is going to be on the pre-show as well. I'm going to go with King and Wild to retain their Knockouts Tag Team titles. I'm going to go next with PCO against Eddie Edwards. This is a last rites match. Eddie will have his wife, Alicia, with him, of course. Big part of the story. I know the last rights match in Impact years ago used to be this Vince Russo, this like crazy Vince Russo creation where the casket would like lower down and like come back up, and it was like this really weird like casket match that where the thing moved all over the place, and it was very strange and confusing. But basically, I think this is mainly just like a casket match. Like, to my knowledge, this is basically a casket match that we're going to be seeing tonight for this last rites match. I believe they've done it like this previously as well. It's just my brain gets a little foggy sometimes when I cover all these different promotions, and then they have like different names to traditional match type names. Or I shouldn't even say traditional, but you know, you can't call it a casket match, you're going to call it a last rites match. But a last rites match actually used to be something that's different than what I think we're actually seeing tonight. Anyways, I'm going to confuse y'all just by listening to me talking about it. I'm going to go with Edwards winning that one. After that, we have... Oh, and by the way, Eddie Edwards. It's funny because every single show, I'll talk about how I'm not really looking forward to his match that much. And by the post-show, I'll be talking about how good it was. I'm not going to do that this time. I like fully expect PCO and Eddie Edwards to have a really good casket match. I think it's going to be really good for what it needs to be. So I'm looking forward to it. No shade or anything on any Eddie Edwards or PCO here from me today. I've always been an Eddie Edwards fan. I want to make that clear. But, you know, he's just one of those guys where, like, he's just... I feel like every time one of these pay-per-views comes around, he's slotted in as, like, the hardcore match or the death match or the stipulation match or something like that most of the time. And, yep, here you go. But I think it'll be really good once again. I'm going to take Eddie Edwards to win. After that, we got a six-man tag team match where it's going to be Dirty Dango, Joe Hendry, and Santino Marella versus The Design, the team of Diener, Angels, Callahan, and Khan, or like a combination of those four from The Design. I'd imagine The Design's going to win here. I will say Joe Hendry has been a real... I don't know how to say this, because surprise isn't really the right word, because I've known of him for quite a while, actually. I actually knew of him kind of as like a YouTuber years ago, which is kind of crazy. He has mutual friends of mine. When I worked at MMA on Point, I knew him through some friends there, like, years ago. But that said, you know, he's one of these guys who things have just worked out really, really, really well. I'll just put it that way, for, like, impact in him, I feel like, because he's a guy who... I didn't know how good that gimmick was going to get over, the whole Believe in Joe Hendry thing, but his in-ring work has gotten really, really good. He has a great look, obviously, the gimmick, the theme song, the whole package of Joe Hendry, I think. Like, he's a real star. And his match that he had at the, I think it was the last Impact pay-per-view, that he had with Moose was really damn good. So I really want to really put over Joe Hendry. I've got to really give him credit for getting himself so over. And I think he should be in a bigger position than this, if I'm being totally honest. He probably should be in, like, the world title mix based on what I saw, you know, in that match with Moose that I was just talking about. But in this one, I'm going to go with The Design. I have no interest in seeing Santino Marella wrestle. I've never really been the biggest Dirty Dango fan. I remember him as Johnny Curtis forever ago, which is so funny. I mean, we're talking... probably back in, like, the 90s. I'm gonna have to look. Probably the late 90s, honestly. Yeah, 1999 is when he started training, I think. I'm looking it up right now. Because I remember him as Johnny Curtis back on the old OVW website. Because he was there for so long. I remember him even being there when Cody was there, I believe. I don't think he had debuted as Fandango yet. Anyways, that said, I'm gonna go with The Design to win this one. And I'm hoping it's the team of Diener, Angels, and Callahan. Nothing against Khan, but, like, I just feel like Diener, Angels, and Callahan are the three best workers of the four, so I'd, you know, prefer to see them in that one. After that, we have the Ultimate X match for the Impact World Tag Team Championships. This is going to be awesome. We got the Bullet Club, Chris Bay and Ace Austin defending their titles against MCMG, the Motor City Machine Guns, Al Shelley and Chris Sabin, the former champions. I would keep the belts on Chris Bay and Ace Austin here. So I'm going to predict that Bullet Club gets the job done. I imagine they'll probably have some help, maybe from other Bullet Club members. Maybe Kushida comes out and helps Motor City, but maybe he's too preoccupied because of, you know, his title shot later in the night. I'm not sure how they'll play this, but I think that given it's an Ultimate X match and things from the outside can happen and there is no DQ, I'm going to say the Bullet Club gets the job done. And personally speaking, I keep that on them too. I've talked about it literally for years, right here on The Weekender and on other platforms, but I think Ace Austin and Chris Bay, just keep pushing those guys. They're very, very valuable, in my opinion, to Impact Wrestling. In their future, potentially, they're going to stick around, you know. And Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin are made men everywhere. They are individually as singles wrestlers or as a tag team. Doesn't matter where they wrestle, what company it is. They're always over. They always have quality matches. You can rely on them. Two guys that, in my opinion, are like first ballot, you know, indie wrestling Hall of Fame level guys. So, or I shouldn't even call it like indie wrestling Hall of Fame, but just wrestling in general, both those guys really mean a lot to professional wrestling. After that, we had Trey Miguel, or we have a three-way elimination match for the X Division Championship. It's going to be Trey Miguel versus Jonathan Gresham versus Speedball Mike Bailey. The way that this one was set up was basically that Gresham and Bailey were wrestling for number one contender match. Trey Miguel got involved thinking he wouldn't have to defend his title at all, but rather he's going to have to defend against both of them. And I like that it's elimination. It adds a different element to the match. I'm going to say Trey Miguel retains in this one. I don't know how they're going to sort out the eliminations. I'd imagine Speedball will eliminate Gresham, and then Trey Miguel will low blow Speedball or something, and hit him with his finish for, you know, not the Meteor, the rotating DVD. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head for some reason, but it's a badass. It's a way better move than the Meteora. But anyway, Trey Miguel, I think retains here. I love Trey Miguel, by the way. Awesome, awesome performer. And by the way, whenever Trey Miguel drops the Impact X Division title, they need to elevate him to the world title, in my opinion. After that, we have a 10-wrestler hardcore war. It's going to be Team Diener, which is Tommy Dreamer, Guger, Kazarian, Killer Kelly, Yuya Yamura, against Team Bully, which is Bully Ray, Brian Myers, Kenny King, Masha Slamovich, and Moose. I'm going to go with... I mean, the team I like better is Team Bully, if I'm talking, you know, just overall talent. And obviously, I'm a huge Masha Slamovich fan. She's my favorite wrestler in that whole match. Current GCW World Champion. Shout out to Masha. I'm going to go with Team Bully. Just a gut feeling. I like the roster a little bit better. They're the heels. It's a hardcore match. I think this will be really good, though, honestly. It'll be better than what it looks like on paper, I think, to most. I'm going to go with Team Bully. After that, we have what I'm assuming will be the co-main and then the main event of the show. Don't know what order they'll do this in. Maybe they'll do one of these to open the show. That might be smart. But I'm going to go with next. I'm going to assume that the world title match is the main event. So I'm going to next I'll do the prediction for the vacant Impact Knockouts title, which is Jordynne Grace versus Deonna Purrazzo. It's actually very confusing to try to explain exactly how we got here with this title and this match, but the kind of short of it is Mickey James is injured and they had to sort things out between Slamovich, Grace, Purrazzo. They had like some matches and stuff and also had to wait to find out based on multiverse and stuff like that happened along the way what exactly they were going to do with the Knockouts title and how long Mickey was going to be out. It turned out she does have to vacate the title and it is going to be Purrazzo versus Grace for the vacant championship at Rebellion. You really can't go wrong with either of these women, in my opinion. Both are fantastic. My personal preference is Jordynne Grace, and that's mainly it's my preference and it isn't. And it's for this is the reason. It's my preference for her to win if there aren't plans for her to be in the world title mix right now. But if this prevents her from being in the world title mix, then I would put it on Deonna. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, basically, I think that either woman would be great as a Knockouts champion. Can't go wrong either choice. But Jordynne Grace had, like, this, you know, this great run with the title recently. She's had multiple runs with the Knockouts title. I really feel like she could have been possibly the one to dethrone Josh Alexander for the world title, potentially. I've talked about that quite a bit. And I'd like to see her elevated, Not because the Knockouts title isn't valuable, because it actually really is. Like the Knockouts roster for Impact Wrestling is really, really impressive. They have a great Knockouts division. But it just feels like Jordan's been there, done that. And so has Deonna, by the way. I mean, she's held that title for a long time as well. It's just given where we're at right now with things, and with Josh Alexander being out and vacant titles and stuff, I just personally feel like Jordan Grace should be wrestling in the world title mix. Now, that said, if that isn't the plan at the moment, I'd put the title probably back on Jordan in this match. But then we're kind of back to square one before the Mickie James last rodeo and all that stuff. So I don't know. Smart money's probably on Deonna, like to just change it up a little bit again. But I just can't go against Jordan in this one. So I'm going to take Jordan Grace. And then what I'm assuming will be the main event of the show, we have the Impact World Championship on the line. It is vacant. Josh Alexander, very similar fashion to Mickie James. Josh Alexander injured recently, could not compete. And the way Kushida got in this match was he was supposed to compete against Josh Alexander at Multiverse. And Macklin won a four-way match to get in this as well. So basically both guys have claim to title shots. Macklin winning his title shot and just not getting a shot yet because Alexander's been out, and then Kushida, who was booked for a title shot and never got it because of the injury. So, I'm gonna go with Steve Macklin. I think it just makes the most sense. He looked like he was the guy maybe being prepped to beat Alexander to begin with. I personally would have probably kept it on Alexander longer and had him beat Macklin if that was the plan for this show, was gonna be Macklin versus Alexander. But once again, given where we are right now, and listen, Kushida's a great choice. Fantastic wrestler. He's been over forever. I just don't see him being the Impact World Champion for whatever reason. And I know Macklin's a guy who's gonna be there, at least in the short term. I don't know how long he's committed to Impact. I don't know how long anyone on the show has committed to Impact. I have no idea. But I just feel like Steve Macklin was kind of becoming that guy anyways in Impact. So you might as well go all the way with him. And then whenever Alexander comes back, Steve Macklin versus Josh Alexander for that title is going to be a banger. So yeah, I'm going to go with Steve Macklin to leave Rebellion as the Impact World Champion. So once again, please join myself, Crest the Star, and Joel Pearl tonight. If you're listening to this on Sunday, it's tonight live, youtube.com/Fightful, the main Fightful YouTube channel, Impact Rebellion post show. And if you miss it live, please check out the replay. All right, moving on. Got results for GCW, I Can't Feel My Face. This show happened live last night at the time of this recording on Fight Plus. In my opinion, the best value you can get for whatever it is. I pay $5 a month. I mean, I've been seeing stuff lately about like seven a month. I don't know if I'm grandfathered into five a month or if that's a different type of deal that I'm not getting for seven. I have no idea. But for less than $10 a month, but for between five and $10 a month, whatever it is, Fight Plus is a fantastic deal. That and IWTV, use code Fight Talk over at IWTV. Just awesome places to consume professional wrestling. And GCW's I Can't Feel My Face happened last night. There are more shows this weekend. I think there's another show tonight. There might even be. I'm planning on being there live, by the way, next Friday, or this upcoming Friday, I should say, at GCW Atlanta and Center Stage. And then I'll also be live at Battle Slam that Sunday. So I got a big wrestling weekend coming up next weekend. I'll get y'all some interviews right here, some audio interviews right here on FightfulSelect.com. And I'll air them live for y'all here on the, I shouldn't say live. I'll air them for y'all here on the Weekender also. I do the standalone interviews that I put up on Select, but I give y'all dibs on hearing them right here as a part of the show also. For the loyal listeners of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast, I appreciate y'all. So these are the results for GCW I Can't Feel My Face. Once again, you can watch this on Fight Plus. Show starts off with Blake Christian over Dan the Dad. Oh, it's worth mentioning, by the way, this is happening in, it's like the St. Louis area. I've been up in this area. I may have even been in this building before that they were at, but I used to go, when I lived in Nashville, Tennessee, I used to drive pretty often from Nashville to St. Louis. It was like a 5 hour drive there and like another five back. But I used to go to Glory Pro shows up there. and a lot of crossover talent, a lot of talent that's really well established in like the Allen, Illinois, St. Louis, Missouri area that was on this show. Dan the Dad being one of them. A lot of them were highlighted on this event, which I really, really enjoyed seeing them. Because it was some talent that you don't, some talents you don't really see often, really, if ever, on GCW shows, and they should be featured more often. Anyway, we had Blake Christian over Dan the Dad. Finish of this one. Basically, Christian takes Dan the Dad's belt off of him, and he wraps it around his neck. He basically like, kind of hangs him from the inside of the ring to the outside over the ring apron and through the ropes. After Dan gets back in the ring, he's like holding his throat, and Blake Christian hits him with a curb stomp. 1, 2, 3. After that, we had Calvin Tankman over Shane Mercer. This was a great one between two dudes who I've seen them go at it before, but seeing them go one-on-one in a GCW ring, something I definitely want to see more often. Just two big dudes who beat the hell out of each other, but both very innovative, both very athletic, can do a whole bunch of really cool stuff. The finish of this one was Tankman hitting Mercer with, I wrote down a short arm hidden blade. So if y'all know what the hidden blade is, by you know Will Ospreay does it where he comes up behind his opponent, usually behind his opponent, and he does like a running kind of like forearm to the back of the head. Tankman does that kind of, he grabs like a short arm clothesline, like brings Mercer into him and hits him in the front of the head with a like a hidden blade to the front of the face. So, and by the way, I've seen Tankman wrestle hundreds of times. I love his move set, whether it's that hidden blade or the Tankman driver or anything else. I mean, he's very talented and a guy who I feel like still hasn't broken out to his full potential yet. Same with Shane Mercer. After that, we had Tony Deppen over Shaza McKenzie. Deppen gets the win after he reverses a stunner into a schoolboy roll-up and then uses the tights for extra leverage. The ref misses it, and Deppen gets the win. After that, we have Shingihiro Irie. I'm always a tough one saying his name. Irie. That's the best. I think that's the best way of saying it. Shingihiro Irie over Brian Keith. Irie is a guy I've actually seen live at, once again, at a Glory Pro show. This was probably like 5-6 years ago, a long time ago already. But he's a guy who is beloved by every wrestler I've ever heard talk about him. And Brian Keith, I talk about almost every week on this show. Super talented. A guy who, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I think it's just a matter of time before he signs with NXT. He can go anywhere. He's talented to work wherever. I think he'd fit in anywhere. But given his connections and training under Booker T, I just feel like NXT and what they've done with Roxanne Perez and NXT, and so I just feel like Brian Keith would just do so well there. Irie gets the win over Keith in this one after hitting a lariat and then following up with a stack pin for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a six-person tag team match, I should say. Thrussey, the team of Alley Catch, Dark Sheik, and Effie, defeat the team of the Second Gear Crew combination of Manders and Mance Warner, along with Jimmy Lloyd. Finish of this one is the Heat Seeker Pussy Pile Driver by Alley Catch onto Jimmy Lloyd. Effie follows up with a Sack Rider onto Jimmy Lloyd, and then Dark Sheik comes off the top rope with a leg drop and finishes the job there. Dark Sheik pins Jimmy Lloyd after the leg drop off the top for the 3 count. Thrussey gets the W. After that, we had a tag team match where the Bang Bros, the team of Davey Bang and August Matthews, defeat the team of Jake Lander and Kevin Lee Davidson, KLD. Lander and Davidson, two other guys I know from that area. Davidson and Dan the Dad, who I talked about earlier, formerly known as Danny Adams or the Millennial Danny Adams. KLD and I became aware of KLD and Danny Adams together years and years ago because they were known as No New Friends. And they both, behind the scenes, were running Glory Pro together. And, yeah, it was really cool to see KLD in this. Because he's kind of, like, in and out. And I know he also runs, like, I think it's WrestleMax. There's a lot of kind of, like, off-branch companies that run in, like, off-branches of kind of the same trainees and stuff. A lot of these guys, like, train together. And now they all run their own shows in St. Louis. Because you have, like, St. Louis Anarchy, you have Max, and you have Glory Pro just threw out the top of my head there in that area. But that said, it was great to see KLD out there. And Jake Lander, someone who's been slept on for a long time. The Bang Bros get the win here after August Matthews hits a 450 splash off the top onto Jake Lander for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a GCW World title match where Masha Slamovich defeats Cole Radrick to defend and retain her title. I thought Cole had it. He hit a Lil Sebastian's curse through a glass pane, and I thought that was going to be it, but Masha kicked out. During the match, Blake Christian, who is mortal enemies of Masha Slamovich and also in line whenever he really wants for a world title shot against Masha, they've been feuding for quite a while now, but Masha, basically Blake's in the crowd watching the match. Masha hits an air raid crash onto broken glass and then points right at Blake and hits a curb stomp, which is his finishing move. And then she follows up by locking Cole into a rear naked choke, and he gets choked out unconscious. The referee has to stop it, and Slamovich is still the champ via technical submission, ref stoppage, rear naked choke. After that, we had a 2-on-3 handicap Lucha Rules match. It was Myron Reed and the East-West Express, the team of Jordan Oliver and Nick Wayne, collectively known as Injustice Express, because if y'all know the history of Jordan Oliver and Myron Reed and MLW as Injustice, so this was cool, like a super team of Injustice Express, taking on Gringo Loco and Commander, who I think, I can't remember who their partner was supposed to be, maybe Metal League, I can't remember, but it was supposed to be 3-on-3, if I remember correctly, but the finish of this one was awesome. So Myron Reed jumps over the top rope, hits a cutter onto Commander through a door on the outside, and then inside the ring, Oliver and Wayne hit a double clout cutter onto Gringo Loco and pin him for the 3 count. After that, we had the main event, which was a tag team match. The Rejects, the team of Reed Bentley and John Wade Murdoch, defeat Los Mestizos, the team of Ciclope and Mado Extremo. The finish of this one was I always have a hard time trying to explain these kind of setups. Reed Bentley puts up Extremo in a powerbomb position, and John Wade Murdoch comes off the top, and JWM hits a Deep South Destroyer. So it's a Deep South Destroyer powerbomb combo onto Extremo, and that is what seals the deal there and gets the pinfall victory for the Rejects in the main event there. Moving on, have spoilers. So spoiler alert. Going to have a lot of spoilers here. We're going to start with MLW. This is going to be War Chamber, and this took place on April 6th. If you don't want spoilers for MLW and or Ring of Honor, I would recommend fast-forwarding maybe like 5 to 10 minutes. I haven't read these spoilers yet, so I do not know how long it's going to take to go through these, because I don't know how much I'll have to elaborate on. Sometimes I just read these through and there's not much to talk about. Sometimes I got to deep dive on some stuff. So you're going to want to fast forward just a little bit if you don't want spoilers. But I'm going to start off right now. Spoiler alert, MLW War Chamber. I'm going to follow up, by the way. It'll be War Chamber, MLW Battle Riot. And then I'll give you another spoiler alert heads up when I start doing Ring of Honor TV taping spoilers. So big spoiler portion of the show right now. All right, so we have the MLW. Oh, by the way, I want to give credit where it's due. These spoilers are courtesy of Cage Match, and you will see these on future episodes of MLW Fusion and MLW Underground. This was taped on 4-6, April 6th. This is War Chamber 2023. We had the MLW World Middleweight Championship on the line. Akira with Raven defeats Lince Dorado and Leo Rush to win the title. Love seeing that. KOBK, Akira, good for him getting that push. Love to see him teamed with Raven or aligned with Raven. That's good stuff. I think MLW should really push the hell out of Akira. Longtime fan of his. We have MLW World Tag Team titles on the line. The Samoan SWAT team, the team of Juicy Finau and Lance Anoa'i, defeat the FBI, the team of Ray Jazz and Little Guido, in the main event, the team of Midas Black and Jay Lyon, to defend and retain their titles. We got Ken Broadway over TJ Crawford. An Opera Cup 2023 first round match where Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeats Calvin Tankman. The MLW World Women's Featherweight Championship on the line. Delmi Exo defeats Taya Valkyrie to win the title. That makes sense considering Taya Valkyrie is now signed to AEW. We had Sam Adonis over Willie Mack. Billy Starks over Becca. By the way, shout out to Billy Starks. Congratulations on signing with All Elite Wrestling. That is absolutely fantastic news. Been saying it for a long time. Billy Stark's going to be the biggest star in wrestling one day, and it'll happen sooner than later. So, love seeing it. Shout out to Billy. Shout out to Mal. Shout out to that whole family. Shout out to the Big Starks brand, BSB. After that, we had the MLW National Openweight Championship on the line. Jacob Fatu defeats John Hennigan to become the new champion. So Jacob Fatu is now the National Openweight champion. Makes perfect sense. I assumed that Hennigan probably wasn't going to be sticking around MLW long if Taya wasn't. Also, shout out to John Hennigan for winning his fight last night at Creator Clash 2. Defeated Harley Mortenstein of Epic Mealtime. And if you want to know more about Hennigan, he actually went by the name Johnny Spotlight when myself and Jeremy interviewed him. So if you want to check out our interview with him from a few months back, please do that, because we actually talk all about Creator Clash and his preparation for his fight that he had last night. But once again, that said, Jacob Fatu defeats John Hennigan to win the championship, the new National Openweight Championship. We had Mandy Leon over Clara Carreras. We had Alex Kane over Shingihiro Irie. We had a Opera Cup 2023 first round match. Hot Sauce Tracy Williams over Tony Deppen. We had Microman over Beastman. And then in the actual War Chamber match, we had The Calling, which was the combination of Akira Delirious, Dr. Cornwallis, and Ricky Shane Page with Raven. They defeat the team of Alex Hammerstone and the Second Gear crew combination of Manders, Mance Warner, and Matthew Justice. So The Calling win War Chamber. Moving on, some more spoilers. This is MLW's Battle Riot. This took place on April the 8th. And these spoilers are courtesy of PW Insider. So thank you very much for that, PW Insider. These matches will air on upcoming episodes of MLW Underground and MLW Fusion on Reels. MLW Underground on Reels, MLW Fusion. We have one called Manders over Yosefer L. We have the Bombay Fight Club cuts a promo. It says brought out champion Hammerstone. Hammerstone winds up beating Mr. Thomas in the next match. After that, we had Becca over Brittany Blake. Microman and MSL come out for a promo. Davey Boy Jr. comes out and attacks Microman, turns heel, nails him with a running power slam. Then he press tossed Microman out of the ring into the arms of those outside the ring. MSL aligns with Davey Boy. Very interesting. It's going to be interesting watching Davey Boy just destroy Microman. After that, we had the MLW Tag Team Championships on the line. The Samoan SWAT team defends and retains over Mance Warner and Manders of the SGC. Says their calling arrives after the match, and they have a big brawl. MLW National Openweight Championship on the line. Jacob Fatu and Ricky Shane Page end in DQ. It says there's a big pull apart. The FBI, the team of Little Guido and Ray Jazz, defeat the main event of Jay Lyons and Midas Black. We had Willie Mack over Leo Rush and John Hennigan. Akira over Lince Dorado. The WXW Championship on the line. Shingihiro Irie over Calvin Tankman. We had Mandy, to retain this title. We had Mandy Leon over Billy Starks. A strap match where Sam Adonis defeats Mance Warner. We had the Opera Cup Finals match where Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeats Tracy Williams. So British Bulldog Jr. wins the Opera Cup. Del Miexo defends and retains, again, over Taya Valkyrie. And I'll tell you all the participants of Battle Riot, then I'll give you the winner. We had Willie Mack, Ricardo Rodriguez, Lince Dorado, Calvin Tankman, Lance Anoa'i, Microman, Azteca Minion, Jesus Finau, Beastman, Little Guido, Sam Adonis, Mance Warner, Jimmy Lloyd. Hell yeah, I love seeing Jimmy Lloyd in there. Mr. Thomas, TJ Crawford, Ken Broadway, the calling combo of Raven, Akira, Delirious, and Cornwallis. We had another Azteca Minion, it looks like. Jacob Fatu, Kim Chi, Midas Creed, Jay Lyon, Taya Valkyrie, Ray Jazz, Leo Rush, Tracy Williams, Duke the Dumpster Drosy, RSP, one called Manders, John Hennigan, Davey Boy Jr., Irie, Gene Snitsky, there's a wild card there, Gene Snitsky in there, And the winner of the whole thing, Alex Kane. So congratulations, Alex Kane, on winning Battle Riot. I love that he's getting a big push. Alex Kane versus Hammerstone for the world title should be a banger. And I'd be fine with Alex Kane winning the title, by the way. Alright, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. I'm about to give you spoilers for ROH TV tapings. So I'm going to give you a bunch of results. Some of these may have already aired, but I most of them haven't yet. Maybe a couple things here have aired, but I have tapings from April 7th and April 12th. I'm going to start with the April 7th tapings, and these are courtesy of the Wrestling Observer, Aria Whitner. Thank you very much for the spoilers here from Wrestling Observer. I'm reading them via Fightful.com. So these are ROH spoilers. Fast forward a few minutes if you don't want these. Starts off with Sky Blue over Kelly Madden. Mark Briscoe over Ari Daivari. Says the varsity athletes attacked after the match. And FTR made the save. We have the ROH World Championship on the line. Claudio Castagnoli over Grand Metalik, or just Metalik. And I know that this is aired. Robin Renegade defeated Madison Rain. I guess Madison got injured, had an injured ankle during the match. That's too bad. Hope Madison gets better soon there. We have Wheeler Yuta over Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. ROH Pure Championship on the line. Shibata and Alex Coughlin defeat the Workhorsemen, JD Drake and Anthony Henry. So yeah, I know some of these have definitely aired already so far. JD Drake and Anthony Henry, I'm going to get to see them wrestle live. I've seen them wrestle live many times, but I'm going to see them wrestle live again at GCW in Atlanta this weekend, which I'm looking forward to. We have Darius Martin over Mike Bennett by disqualification when Matt Taven ran in. It says Action Andretti made the save after the match. We had Willow Nightingale over LMK. Stu Grayson over Tony Nese. Says the Righteous Dutch and Vincent came out and stared down Evil Uno and Stu Grayson after the match. And then we had the ROH Women's Championship Proving Ground match where Athena defends and retains her title over Ashley Dembois. And I love knowing that Ashley's doing something with Ring of Honor. She's been popping up everywhere lately. I think she is money. I've said it before. I'm really lucky I got to commentate one of her matches recently before she really, really blows up. But I think she's a real star in the making. And of course, shout out to Athena. Moving on to more Ring of Honor spoilers. These are courtesy of Wrestling Observer, and these took place on April the 12th. We have The Kingdom, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, over Darius Martin and Action Andretti. It says Willow Nightingale defeated one of the Renegade twins, but both twins attacked Nightingale after the match. Lance Archer defeats a local competitor. I guess he didn't get the name of that one. We have Brian Cage over Joey Kick. The ROH World Women's Championship on the line. I think it's on the line. It says Athena defeats Heather Reckless. The Iron Savages, the team of Bronson and Bear Boulder, defeats, it just says, two local competitors. The ROH World TV title on the line, or at least the champion. They didn't do the best job on these, I'm not going to lie, of like specifying what was and wasn't on the line, or you know, even getting the names of some of these competitors, but I appreciate it getting anything here. But Samoa Joe over Colt Cabana. It says AAA Mega Championship on the line here. Vikingo defends and retains over Gringo Loco, and Takeshita defeats Lee Moriarty. So a lot of great stuff to look forward to for Ring of Honor. And some of it's already aired, some of it I've actually seen, but once again, trying to get caught up here because we're behind a couple weeks on the Weekender because of the collective review and all that. So that's what we got going on for Ring of Honor going forward. And a lot of good stuff to look forward to. A lot of great talent there. Moving on, I have results for NXT Level Up. Show starts off with Hank Walker over Kale Dixon. The finish of this one was the Flying Fridge, which is what they called it on commentary. Basically just a running crossbody by Hank Walker for the 3 count. But Walker keeps improving, Dixon keeps improving. Two perfect examples of the NXT Level Up system working for what it needs to work for. Same thing for the next. Actually, this is proof for all three of these matches, as a matter of fact, for this show. Because I could say the same about the next match, which was Zion Quinn over Tavian Heights. Quinn gets the win with X Marks the Spot, which is a running flying forearm. almost the same exact move that you saw Hank Walker do in Zion Quinn. A lot of similarities there, but once again, these are two guys that are just continuing to improve, keep getting more comfortable in front of a crowd, keep figuring themselves out, keep getting better with their gimmicks, keep improving their moveset. You know, so once again, Zion Quinn's been around a bit longer and should be is like farther along the way or has had more opportunities so far in the WWE system, or the NXT system, I should say. But I still think there's a really good future for him. He's got a great look and he's improving. And once again, I think Davian Heights is really good too, or at least has potential to be really good. So all four of the dudes in the first two matches did really well. So once again, Zion Quinn over Davian Heights, with X marks the spot in the second match. And then the main event, I think, is like a prime example of why NXT Level Up works. Because we had Katana Chance and Caden Carter. They defeat Electra Lopez and Lola Vice. And this was like really solid. Chance and Carter hit some really good tag team moves in this one. Lopez and Vice keep getting better and better. And they're two wrestlers who I think have, or I should say all four of them, but like Chance and Carter, you know that there's plans for, we've seen that. But when it comes to Lopez and Vice, I've just seen a lot of improvement, which is, exactly what this is all about with this show. The first time I saw Lopez and the first time I saw Vice to now, both have gotten significantly better. I thought this was a really good tag team match to close the show out. And once again, really innovative offense from both teams, but especially from Chance and Carter. They had like a really nice double team, like springboard moonsault, springboard leg drop type move. The finish, I know I've seen their finish many times, but for those who haven't seen it, basically it's Carter goes up top, and I think Chance goes up top, and I'm getting their names mixed up now because they changed them on me, and I miss the NXT Tuesday show so often that when they change their names on me, it messes me up sometimes. I believe Katana Chance went up, hit the 450 splash from the top rope, while Carter hit a neck breaker at the same time. So, really good stuff. I thoroughly enjoyed the main event. I thoroughly enjoyed the whole show. I'm just so bad when they keep changing people's names. Casey Catanzaro is the one who hits that 450 off the top, and that's how I know her as. But once again, these names throw me off sometimes. Anyways, that said, another really good episode of NXT Level Up for what it needs to be. Moving on, we got results for Freelance Wrestling's Storm Grayson and the Legend of the Mexican Dragon. Got results here for you. It shows available on IWTV. Use code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK. All as one word, no spaces. Put that on the promo code spot. IWTV.live or independentwrestling.tv. Helps me out when you use that code. And check this show out. It's available right now. You can watch it. $9.99 a month. Great value. Check it out. Support some independent wrestling. There's like 7,000 shows on there you can watch. Show starts off with Shaza McKenzie over El Torero, Mojo McQueen, Shane Black, Trevor Outlaw, and Brandon Gore in a multi-person match. The finish of this one was Shaza reversing a move into a schoolboy roll up with a deep stack pin onto Trevor Outlaw. Mike Outlaw is a completely different wrestler. McKenzie pins Outlaw basically by reversing into a schoolboy in a stack pin for the three count. After that, we had Devin Monroe over Cota Hernandez. Monroe gets the win after hitting their top rope corkscrew crossbody for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Laney Luck and GPA over Bussy, the team of Alley Catch and Effie. The finish here was Alley Catch going for a pussy pile driver. It gets reversed by Luck into a backdrop. Luck sits down into a stack pin, and while in the stack pin, GPA leans like on top as well, so it's like the extra leverage holds down Alley Catch. So it's basically a double pin for the three count. After that, we had the Freelance Legacy Championship on the line. Brian Keith defends and retains his title over Kevin Koo, gets the win with the Emerald Tiger Driver and a deep stack pin for the three count. Love this matchup. One of my favorite matches of the whole weekend. The show took place just 2 days ago, by the way, on Friday. But I've just talked about Brian Keith, giant fan of his, but Kevin Koo is a guy who, whether it's with Bounces Forever or singles work, I'm a longtime fan of his. I got to interview him in my apartment in Nashville, Tennessee, back in like 2000, probably 17 or 18. And I didn't know hardly anything about him at the time, and I got to know him through Southern Underground Pro, Sup Graps out of Nashville. And I'm a longtime supporter of his, and he just keeps getting better and better and better. And I really feel like both Koo and Greeny are they got some they got something cooking right now, where they're I can feel it. Big things coming for those guys. After that, we had the Freelance Tag Team Championships on the line. The Bang Bros, Davey Bang and August Matthews, defend and retain their titles over Hustle and Muscle, the team of Karam and Karam and Rihit Raju, as well as Los Mestizos, the team of Ciclope and Mater Extremo. The finish here was both Bang Bros going to the top rope and hitting the 900, the stereo 450s at the same time. And they hit them onto Raju and Extremo at the same time. So they pinned two members of both of their opponents. So definitive win for the Bang Bros there to retain the Freelance Tag Team belts. After that, we had Shane Mercer with James Russo over Sorta Incredible Iverson. Mercer gets the win after hitting Moonsault and Battery for the three count. After the match, James Russo gets in the ring and basically calls out Craig Mitchell and says the reason that Shane Mercer has been brought into Freelance is to take out Craig Mitchell. Craig comes out, attacks Mercer. The locker room pulls both guys apart, and I can't wait for that. I'm a similar to Kevin Koo. I'm a longtime Craig Mitchell fan. Funny story with him is he knocked a beer out of my hand years ago at a show, and he felt so bad about it that he wound up buying me a beer later and doing an interview with me. So I love me some Craig Mitchell, longtime fan of his, and I can't wait to see him and Shane Mercer at Freelance. That is gonna hump. It's gonna be a great one. And the main event of the show, we had the Freelance World Championship on the line. Storm Grayson defends and retains his title over Nick Wayne, gets the win via pinfall with a V trigger for the 1-2-3. All right, I'm going to give you some results here for NWA's 312, 312, whatever you want to call it. It is a show for the National Wrestling Alliance. It took place on April 7th, 2023, and you can watch it on Fight TV. For the pre-show, we had Natalia Markova over Escobar. We had the United States Tag Team titles on the line, the Country Gentlemen, AJ Kazana, and Anthony Andrews. Defend and retain their titles over Jack Stain and Blake Troop. We had a hair versus mask strap match where Gags the Gimp defeated Sal the Pal. Afterwards, they kind of decide on who's going to shave Sal's head. Judas wants them to kiss his feet, and they wind up leaving him. Mike Knox and Trevor Murdoch defeat Daisy Kill and Talos. That wraps up the pre-show. Main show starts, National Openweight Championship on the line. EC3 defeats Scion by submission to become the new champion. Gets in with a purpose for the tap out win. We had the NWA World Women's Tag Team titles on the line. Maddie and Misa Kate, M95, defeat the team of Pretty Empowered, LA Envy, and Roxy. We had Kratos over Yabo the Clown. We had an NWA National Heavyweight Championship. Number one contender battle royal, 26 people involved in this one. Sawas Mason wins the whole thing. We had the finals of the NWA World Women's TV title tournament to crown the first champion. We have Kenzie Page defeating Maxxie Impaler to become the champ, which I'm actually really surprised about. They made it really seem like Max was going to win this whole thing from the start. After that, we had the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship on the line. Kerry Morton with his dad Ricky defends and retains over Joe Alonzo, who had Jamie Stanley in his corner. We had Bully Ray over Tom Latimer by disqualification. The NWA World Tag Team titles on the line. La Rebellion, Bestia Seis, and Mecha Wolf defeat Magnum Muscle, the team of Mims and Dak Draper, to defend and retain their titles. We had Camille defend and retain her title, the NWA World Women's Championship, rather. She defeats La Rosa Negra to defeat to retain the title. So Camille retains her title, the NWA National Women's World Championship, over La Rosa Negra. And the main event of the show, we had Tyrus defend the NWA World Heavyweight Championship over Chris Adonis. So Tyrus is still your NWA World Heavyweight Champion. We'll close the show up here with some quick results for House of Glory. This is Hogs Final Four, and these are the results. Got the Cruiserweight title on the line. Mighty Monty defends and retains over Ichiban. We had Kiki Van Gogh over Becca. The Hog Tag Team titles on the line. The Bookers, the team of BXL and the Amazing Red, they defeat the Jabronis to defend and retain their titles. We had the main event, the team of Jay Lyon and Midas Black, over the Rascals combination of Trey Miguel and Zach Wentz. The Hog Crown Jewel Championship on the line. Charles Mason defends and retains his title over Leo Rush. We had a street fight where Ken Broadway defeats Evander James. In the main event of the show, we had the Hog Heavyweight Championship on the line. Jacob Fatu defends and retains his belt over Willie Mack. Afterwards, we find out that Matt Cardona will be challenging Jacob Fatu for the title on May 19th, Kane's favorite day. And that is some deep lore if you remember all that. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Once again, please check out the Fightful post-show review for Impact Rebellion. That'll be tonight, youtube.com/Fightful with myself, Joel Pearl, and Cresta Starr. If you miss it live, please check out the replay. We appreciate everyone tuning into that. And please follow me on Twitter at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Please follow me over there and also use code FIGHTTALK on IWTV. Also, please check out the Spotlight every Thursday on the main Fightful YouTube channel. That is youtube.com/Fightful, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Myself and Jeremy Lambert talking a bunch of news, our favorite stuff from the week of professional wrestling. And we usually have interviews on there for y'all with wrestlers, promoters, other YouTube creators, just people in the space. So always got fun interviews for y'all over there too. And that's every Thursday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And once again, I do plan on being at GCW in Atlanta on this upcoming Friday. I'll get you some audio interviews right here on Fightful Select. And I'll also plan on being at Battle Slam that Sunday, get you some more interviews right here on Fightful Select. If I don't do the Weekender on Sunday that week, I'll do it on Monday. So just a heads up, if it's not Sunday, it will be on Monday. But I plan on doing it. Well, actually, it'll probably be Monday now that I'm thinking about it because I'm going to Battle Slam Sunday. So look out for the Fightful Weekender probably on Monday. This upcoming next episode being Monday. So once again, I've been Steven Jensen. Tune in tonight for the Fightful post-show review for Impact Rebellion. Till next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.